This is Kathy bringing you the Rantoul Press for the week of January the 7th. Starting with page one on the Rantoul Press, Rantoul man arrested on sex charge. Rantoul man has been criminally charged for allegedly forcing a woman to have sex with him. Richard Tome, 27, who listed an address in the 100 block of Winding Lane, was charged Monday with criminal sexual assault for an act that allegedly happened Friday morning. Rantoul Police Lieutenant Justin Bowes said the woman knew Tome and that the alleged assault happened in her home in Rantoul. She reported what happened to the police Friday afternoon and went to the hospital for treatment and the collection of evidence. Police arrested Tome Saturday about 9:30 a.m. He appeared in court Sunday where his bond was set at $25,000. If convicted of the Class 1 felony offense, Tome faces 4 to 15 years in prison. This next headline reads, Board Chairman to make call on appointment of new county treasurer by Deborah Pressey. The authority to appoint the next Champaign County treasurer will fall to County Board Chairman Geraldo Rosales. After current treasurer Laurel Pressing resigned, County Executive Darlene Kleppel said she was looking into whether she, rather than the county board chair, should be the one to appoint Pressing's successor in a county with an elected county executive. Rosales said there was no question the appointment should be made by the county board chair, and the issue was settled at a meeting Tuesday morning that included him, Kleppel, both party caucus chairs, and State's Attorney Julia Reitz. "I think she's clear now," he said of Kleppel. Kleppel couldn't be reached Tuesday, but confirmed in a text message that a decision had been made and Rosales will make the appointment. Pressing's resignation is effective January 31st, and Rosales said he'll officially announce the upcoming vacancy at a county board meeting of the whole meeting, January 14th. He'll be looking for assistance from both parties and others to come up with a list of treasurer candidates, and will be accepting resumes and cover letters from applicants after January 14th, he said. The selected candidate will need to be confirmed by the county board, and the rest of the treasurer's unexpired four-year term will be up for election in November. Pressing is leaving in a wake of issues that have developed in her first year in office, among them months' worth of county bank accounts that have gone unreconciled, but Rosales said he doesn't believe it will be difficult to find a replacement. "Anybody walking into that, it's a little scary," he said, "but anybody who is professional and competent should have no difficulties figuring it out." Kleppel had hired an outside auditor to help the treasurer's office catch up on county bank accounts, but County Board Finance Chair Jim Goss said the outside auditor was only able to get through 2 months' worth of the backlog, December 18th and January 2019, before the money ran out. Rosales said he hasn't seen the outside auditor's report. We'll be seeking that from Kleppel. "The audit has not been shared with us," he said. "We most likely will ask for that today." Meanwhile, former Champaign School Board member John Bambanek has called on county officials to conduct a forensic audit of the treasurer's office. "That's a deep and evidentiary audit done by an independent outside professional when there's been a loss of control, and such an audit would follow the money and make sure it has been properly accounted for," he said. Laurel Pressing's resignation does not put an end to the dysfunction in county finances, he said Tuesday. "Hundreds of millions of dollars have been mismanaged, and a forensic audit is necessary to find out where all the money went, why it went there, and to recover whatever is now missing." Rosales said he has always supported transparency in government and believes in whatever it takes to make sure the transparency is being provided. "My hope is that our county government will cooperate in this assurance," he said. Groundbreaking ceremony set for January 14th for the new sports complex. The Village of Rantoul and Rantoul Recreation Department will hold a groundbreaking ceremony for the Rantoul Sports Complex. The ceremony will be held at 1 p.m. Tuesday, January 14th at Stonebridge Drive near Walmart and Holiday Inn Express. Everyone is welcome to attend. Contact the Village with questions at 892-6800. Site work will take place early this year prior to construction. The 65-acre complex is scheduled to open in the spring of 2021. This next headline, sports complex and newspaper sale among the top stories for 2019. The Rantoul Village Board took a giant step toward what it hopes is an economic boost to the community with the approval to build a $20 million sports complex on the west side of town. But 2019 will be known for other things as well, in the form of an upgraded Amtrak station, the continued surge of a huge farm show, flying pumpkins, and the change of hands of a longtime media company. new train station opened for business. The Amtrak 391 southbound left the Rantoul train station at 11:36 a.m. July 11th, the first train to use the newly remodeled facility. A few minutes later, the 390 northbound rolled into the station. It marked the completion of an approximately 10-month project that saw a major upgrade to the facility. Village of Rantoul crews hauled away the old shelter where passengers had waited in bad weather. A new shelter and other amenities have been added. John Burke, field engineer for Jacobs Engineering, said the new train station, built on helical piers, provides a more welcoming appearance for first-time visitors to the village who arrive by train. The entire platform was redone. Also, new or renovated, a location sign, a handicapped parking area, 9 LED lights mounted on decorative poles designed to match neighboring lighting, a wheelchair life station, and newly graded parking lot. Pour-only license gets okay in Fisher. With three board members absent, the Fisher Village Board voted 3-0 in August to amend its liquor ordinance to allow for a pour-only liquor license. It would allow Brandon Chandler to open a laundromat, but also install video gaming machines in a walled-off portion of the building he owns on the main business district block that used to be part of Ingold's Grocery. The Class L license will allow beer and wine to be served on the premises and up to 5 gaming machines after January 1st. To maintain the license, Chandler must own and operate a traditional laundromat featuring at least 4 each, washers and dryers, and be open from at least 8 a.m. until 8 p.m. Monday through Saturday. Chandler may choose to be open for longer hours. He has decided to open the laundromat on Sunday, but not the bar portion. The sale of alcohol will be restricted to a room separated by a wall but accessible by a door from the laundromat. Patrons of the laundromat will not be able to see into the bar space. When alcohol is being served, Chandler must have at least one employee at least 21 years of age on site, and those under 21 years won't be allowed to enter. News Gazette Media, owner of Rantoul Press, sold. In an all-staff meeting in late August, News Gazette Media CEO John Reed announced to employees that an agreement had been signed to sell substantially all of its assets to the family-owned Champaign Multimedia Group, LLC, an affiliate company of Community Media Group. The sale was expected to close in early November. CMG, headquartered in downstate West Frankfort, owns and operates community newspapers with websites in several Midwestern states, including Illinois, Indiana, and Iowa, as well as newspapers in Michigan, Pennsylvania, and New York. The acquisition of News Gazette Media will include the Rantoul Press, as well as other weekly newspapers, Ford County Record, Mahomet Citizen, Piatt County Journal Republic, Independent News, which serves Vermilion County, and Target Shopper. We are pleased to announce that our search for the new owners for our properties has led us to a family-owned company located right here in Illinois, Reed said. Community Media Group shares our values and represents everything we had hoped to find in the next steward of our newspapers and radio stations. They have a strong commitment to quality products, and they share our vision of a multimedia future where print, radio, and digital media outlets continue to complement one another. Largest ever half-century show. Every year the story is the same. The half-century of Progress Farm Show, which has grown to large proportions, surpassed its predecessors, and each time it's true. In August, organizers of the show, held biannually on the grounds of the Rantoul Aviation Center, marveled at just how the event gets bigger. The show was staged by the I&I Antique Tractor and Gas Engine Club with help from the village of Rantoul. Ideal weather, meaning no rain and mild temperatures, helped make it the largest show ever. We had a great show, co-chairman John Fredrickson said. The weather was beautiful. We couldn't have ordered it any better. By visual observation, Friday was the largest crowd we've ever had. We had the most farm equipment we've ever had. It was a wonderful show. I've never had so many compliments of something I've done in my life as the last couple of days. Co-chair Russell Buer and I are very elated at the outcome. He said one couple from Minnesota who sell embroidered shirts, jackets, and other attire told Fredrickson that they made more money at the half-century than at any other venue in the past 15 years. All the vendors were very pleased, Fredrickson said. People came from across the country, and Fredrickson said 7 or 8 people came from overseas. sports complex plans. In September, the village announced plans to build a $20 million sports complex on the community's west site. The plan, which got village board approval later in the year, will be paid for from private contributions, sponsorships, donations, and grants, with the bulk of the funding coming from bonds paid for from income generated by the village's tax increment financing fund. If approved, you're creating a Midwest destination location for some very large markets to travel forward toward a sporting venue like we're proposing, Village Administrator Scott Eisenhower told the board. He projects the complex would spur restaurant, hotel, and retail development along the Interstate 57 corridor. Greater interest would be generated by the sports complex's turf fields, which would lure multiple teams due to its no weather cancellation possibilities. Site preparation will occur this year and construction when the weather clears. A spring 2021 opening is projected. Initially, the village will lease the 65 acres from the Warner family and then pay $860,000 for the property over 2 years. In addition, the Warner family will receive acreage near the site as well as near Brook Hill Golf Course, owned by the Park District, in exchange. The Park District will receive ownership of the Sieber Sports Complex land on the former Chanute Air Force Base, with the village continuing to maintain it. Plane scrapper gets 2 years in prison. An Indiana man whose company was contracted to cut up and haul off the remaining Air Force planes at the former base was convicted and sentenced to 2 years in prison for an Indiana case in which he illegally cut up and scrapped a metal bridge in Indiana. Ken Morrison, 69, was sentenced in federal court in Indiana for stealing scrap metal from a bridge. In light of the conviction, Champaign County prosecutors dropped charges against Morrison for wrongfully selling two ejector seats from a plane he was tearing apart at Chanute. Morrison didn't think he was violating his $39,000 salvage contract in selling the seats. Police got the seats back and banned Morrison from the base. New store opens in Potomac. In some towns, the opening of a new Dollar General is just one more place to shop. To tiny burgs like Potomac, it can mean not having to travel many miles for necessities. Dollar General opened its doors there in October. Potomac resident Carl Hoshauer was grateful. "I'm handicapped, and if I want to go somewhere, I have to have somebody drive for me," Hoshauer said. "I have a battery-operated electric wheelchair, and the aisles are wide enough I can get up and down them and turn around if I have to." Mary Stahl echoed these sentiments. "It's wonderful to have another employer in town," Stahl said. "Having another place of business in town is drawing more consumers to town. We seem to have just a little more space of interest. I don't have to drive 23 miles to get what I need." Potomac Mayor Roger Porter, who has held the village's top municipal post for 4 years, had pursued Dollar General from almost the beginning of his job, calling monthly until Potomac became part of their hot list. He pointed out that besides the convenience, the potential revenue is significant. The property tax alone is projected to be around $2,000, and Potomac's share of the sales tax will be 1%. Taco Bell to return. The village learned in October that Taco Bell would be coming back to Rantoul. Owners of the Taco Bell restaurant on West Champaign Avenue closed the business in light of required upgrades mandated by the parent company. But the new one will sprout a few doors to the east. Nick Kalergis, owner of the Chicago-based Buddy Bell's Incorporated, said. Kalergis, owner of the Chicago-based Buddy Bell's, said his company opted to build new rather than remodel the former restaurant location. "We were a franchisee at the other store," Kalergis said. "We lost our lease." The company owns 21 Taco Bells in Illinois, including several in Champaign-Urbana. Kalergis said the restaurant will be a Taco Bell only. There are no plans to also include a Kentucky Fried Chicken, as it had done in the past before KFC left. The village approved a zoning change for the new site from residential to commercial. It previously had been a used vehicle sales business. Flying pumpkins. They shot a pumpkin into the air. It fell to the earth they knew not where. Rantoul became the new home for the pumpkin chunkin' competition in early November, in which teams tried to see how far they can shoot a pumpkin. It all took place on the grounds of the airport. Cold weather and a fewer-than-hoped-for number of contestants put a bit of a downer on the event, but there was one world record set. The crew of the Chunk Norris catapult hit a record shot of more than 4,000 feet. The pumpkin landed on the grounds of the Willow Pond Golf Course. Kevin Appleby, owner of the golf course, was called to see if he could find the pumpkin. He did. A distance of 4,091 feet was a world's record for a mechanical device, a catapult. It was the first mechanical to join the 4,000-foot club. Cannabis sales banned. Also in November, the village board voted to ban the sale of recreational cannabis in the community. While the location of such a cannabis dispensary is not likely in the community due to the cost, the village board, heeding the opinions of a number of residents, took no chances. The board voted 4-2 to prohibit the startup of cannabis business establishments in the community. Trustees Hank Gamble and Sam Hall voted against the prohibition. Baseball softball field to be added in Fisher. The Fisher Village Board in late November approved a contract to buy property from Gail Sunderland to add a baseball softball field for $12,500. The 3.29 acres are situated directly south of the existing football field at Richmond Park. The purchase will be made using surplus funds available in the capital improvement budget for fiscal 2020. And that article, that recap of 1919, was written by Dave Hinton. I'm going to move into the obituaries since there are several. I want to make sure we get them all in. Going back to January 1st, Jerome Gulster, Jerome J. Gulster, 63, of rural Paxton, died Tuesday, December 31st, at home. Private family services will be held at a later date. Judy Coons, 79, of Dewey, died at 2:27 a.m. Wednesday, January 1st, at Heritage Banner in Gibson City. Funeral services were at 10 a.m. Saturday, January 4th, at River Valley Church of Christ, 17 Owl Creek Lane in Fisher, with the Reverend Andy Baker officiating. Burial will follow in Willowbrook Cemetery in Fisher. Visitation was from 6 to 8 p.m. Friday at the River Valley Church of Christ in Fisher. Florence Flossie Greer Good, 95, formerly of Potomac, died Friday morning, December 27th at Bowman Estates in Danville. A celebration of her life was at 11 a.m. Saturday, January 4th at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center on North Vermillion Street in Danville. The Reverend Ron Wishar will officiated. Burial was in the Potomac Cemetery beside her husband Ray. Visitation was from 10 to 11 a.m. Saturday at the funeral home. Catherine Peterson. Catherine M. Peterson, also known as K.M. Nethery of Penfield, died in early December at home. Services were at 11 a.m. Saturday, January 4th, at St. Lawrence Catholic Church in Penfield. Beverly Potts. Beverly F. Potts, 92, of Urbana, mother of a Rantoul resident, died at 12:15 a.m. Monday, December 30th, at Country Health Care and Rehab in Gifford. Funeral services were at 11 a.m. Friday, January 3rd, at Renner Wyckoff Chapel and Crematory on South Philo Road in Urbana. The Reverend Ken Young officiated. Private family burial will be in East Lawn Cemetery in Urbana. Mark Zinders. Mark H. Zinders quietly slipped into an eternal sleep at his home, surrounded by family, on January 1st in Ludlow, Illinois. The family will have a private memorial in Mark's honor. Contributions or well wishes at your discretion can be sent to the following address, P.O. Box 204 in Ludlow, Illinois, 60949. Vera Little. Vera Marie Little, 96, of Rantoul, died on New Year's Day after a short illness. She worked at Chanute for 38 years and spent the latter part of her career as a secretary at two various center commanders. She is survived by her son Ron, daughter Debbie, and son-in-law Grant. Visitation will be held from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. Monday, and I'm assuming that was last Monday, at Lux Memorial Chapel in Rantoul. A funeral service will be held at 10 a.m. Tuesday at the First United Methodist Church. Virginia Smith. Virginia Smith, 83, of Paxton, died Wednesday evening, January 1st, surrounded by her family. There will be a private graveside ceremony at a later date. Lux Memorial Chapel is in charge of arrangements. Charles Padilla. Charles A. Padilla, 91, of Rantoul, died Monday, December 30th at Carle Foundation Hospital in Urbana. Visitation will be from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Saturday, January 4th at Lux Memorial Chapel on Grove Avenue in Rantoul. Burial will follow immediately at Maplewood Cemetery in Rantoul. Alfredo Martinez. Alfredo Carrillo Martinez, 27, of Rantoul, died Thursday, January 2nd in Urbana. Visitation will be from 5 to 7 p.m. Tuesday, January 7th at Lux Memorial Chapel on East Grove Avenue in Rantoul. Darlene Carter Hawkins. Darlena K. Carter Hawkins, 78, formerly of Fairmount and Decatur, mother of a Thomasboro resident, died at 8:52 a.m. Wednesday, January 1st at her daughter's home in Ogden. Funeral services were on Monday, January 6th at the Robeson Chapel in Catlin, with the Reverend Mike Roberts and Chris Lawler officiating. Burial will be in Davis Cemetery west of Fairmont. Visitation was from 10 to 11 a.m. Monday at the Robeson Chapel. Lilas Cunningham. Lilas Lou Cunningham, 99, of Fisher, died Sunday morning, December 29th at Heritage Manor of Gibson City. A memorial service was at 11:30 Thursday, January 2nd at the River Valley Church of Christ in Fisher. The Reverend Andy Baker officiated. Visitation was from 11 to 11:30 a.m. at the church. Steve Ensign. Steve Ensign, 63, of Rantoul, died Tuesday, December 31st at OSF Heart of Mary Medical Center in Urbana. No services will be held. Dorothy Welburn. Dorothy J. Welburn, 88, of Fisher, died Tuesday evening, December 31st at Carle Foundation Hospital in Urbana. A funeral service was at 10 a.m. Monday, January 6th at Emmanuel Lutheran Church of Osmond. The Reverend Jeff McPike officiated. Burial followed in Willowbrook Cemetery in Fisher. Visitation was from 3 to 5 p.m. Sunday at Lux Memorial Chapel on East Grove Avenue in Rantoul. Jeffrey Coplia. Jeff Coplia, 63, of Urbana, formerly of Paxton, died at 8 p.m. Friday, January 3rd at his home. Graveside services were at 2 p.m. Sunday at the Glen Cemetery in Paxton with the Reverend Jennifer Hartwick Brown officiating. Alice Stalter. Alice Stalter, 85, of Texas, formerly of Rantoul and Fisher, died Thursday, January 2nd at Texas Health Presbyterian Hospital in Rockwall, Texas. Funeral services were at noon Wednesday, January 8th at Bayer Family Funeral Services on Pell Street in Paxton, with the Reverend Mark Carpenter officiating. Burial will follow in the East Bend Cemetery in Fisher. Visitation was from 10 a.m. to noon Wednesday at the funeral home. Danielle Donnelly. Danielle Donnelly, 79, of Paxton, died at 10:26 a.m. Sunday, January 5th at home. Private graveside services will be held at Camp Butler National Cemetery in Springfield. Bayer Family Funeral Services is handling the arrangements. Memorials may be made to the American Cancer Society. Roberta Ingold. Roberta A. Ingold, 85, of Fisher, died at 10:30 a.m. Monday, January 6th at her home, surrounded by her family. Funeral services were at 11 a.m. Wednesday, January 8th at Gibson City Bible Church in Gibson City. The Reverend Paul Thomason officiated. Burial will be in July in the Willow Creek Cemetery in Fisher. Visitation was from 9:30 to 11 a.m. Wednesday at the church. Lamb Funeral Home in Gibson City was in charge of the arrangements. Ralph Hamilton. Ralph Sam Hamilton, 86, of Rantoul, died peacefully Saturday, December 28th at the Armed Forces Retirement Home in Washington, D.C., after a year-long battle with colon cancer. He will be buried at the Arlington National Cemetery in Washington, D.C., with arrangements to be determined. Aldo Seleschi. Aldo Seleschi, 93, of Melvin, brother of a Rantoul resident, died at 9:45 a.m. Monday, January 6th at the Gibson Area Hospital in Gibson City. Visitation will be from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Saturday, January 11th at Bayer Family Funeral Services, 406 East Pell Street in Paxton, followed by military rites. There will be a rosary before the service starting at 10:30 a.m. His son Dave will be burying his cremated remains in the church in Italy where he was baptized. John Jones. John D. Jones, 60, of Paxton, died at 8:29 a.m. Friday, January 3rd at Carl Foundation Hospital in Urbana. Funeral services will be at 11 a.m. Friday, January 10th at Bayer Family Funeral Services at 406 East Pell Street, Paxton, and Chris Kester will officiate. Burial will follow in Glen Cemetery in Paxton. Visitation will be from 5 to 8 p.m. Thursday at the funeral home. Quite a few obituaries today. So skipping back to the Rantoul Press under the news, Gifford approves 3% cannabis tax. If recreational cannabis sales ever become permitted in Gifford, customers can expect to pay a 3% municipal sales tax. Gifford's Village Board unanimously approved municipal cannabis retailers' occupation tax on Thursday, nearly 2 months after the board voted to prohibit the dispensing of recreational cannabis in Gifford. Trustees said this way the village would receive a tax benefit if sales are ever allowed. Also at Thursday's board meeting, David Atchley, team leader at MSA Professional Services, provided an update on the building process for the Main Street Water Main Project. Bids will be opened at 2 p.m. Wednesday, February 5th. A board vote is anticipated at the February 6th board meeting. In other business, Trustee Stacy Severins reported he plans to write a letter to Ameren requesting additional lighting in the Earnray subdivision, which is expected to cost about $320. The Village's next board meeting will be at 7:30 p.m. Thursday, February 6th at the Village Hall. Along with awarding the Main Street Water Main Project, the board is expected to vote on whether to sign off on approximately $79,686 in repaving expenses for Main Street. The repaving project, which Champaign County is coordinating for this spring or summer, will cost an estimated $370,573 total. The county will pick up the bulk of that, about $290,000, while the village is expected to cover 22%. A new Shields Auto Center celebrates a new facility. For 16 years, Shields Auto Center officials have wanted to head west. West, as in near the Interstate 57 interchange. That's according to General Manager Vice President Rick Shields, who welcomed people attending Friday's ribbon cutting and grand opening of the company's new business location. He said the company bought the property on which the dealership now sits before the new Walmart was built. Now it sits just north of that store. The open house included tours of the new 28,000-square-foot facility. Our staff is excited, Shields said. I don't run into a customer who doesn't thank us for doing this, saying how great it looks coming into town. Shields said sales have increased since the move, and the dealership has added more salespeople, plus two additional service riders and technicians. Shields attributed some of the additional sales to more drive-by traffic, but he said part of it could be customers getting a new vehicle prior to implementation of the state's new vehicle trade-in tax that went into effect January 1st. He said Shields has also increased its inventory. Construction of the new facility began in September 2018. Work was supposed to be finished, Shields said, this past July, but didn't cap off until November. One of the new features Rick Shields is most proud of was added to the service drive area, a machine that provides free alignment check and does a 3D image of tire tread. They drive over a monitor on the floor and the alignment is right there, he said. 8 seconds later, it tells you if your car is in alignment and how much tread you have. And that was written by Dave Hinton. Wow, there's more in here, but I don't have any more time today. You have a great week. Stay dry. This is Kathy wishing you the best.